Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your, you know, the usual place, the Liberal Resistance Headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us tonight at your home of the folks, the place where we champion those conservative principles, you know, limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, traditional values, the things that liberals hate. Hopefully my buddy Leo Delperdang just got back from Denmark. Hopefully you flew safe, got home safe. We'll get him on the show next week. He can tell us all about what it was like walking around in wooden shoes. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. A couple quick calendar notes. Mark your calendars. The Kansas State Rifle Association's annual meeting is coming up on July 12th up in Topeka. Great event. They've just been chocking full. Great stuff at that. It's at the Ramada in Topeka. My buddy Dan Mears, who is the mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs, he's Casey Wolf, be their keynote speaker, but there's going to be all the gubernatorial candidates will be there. A lot of the other legislators and candidates coming up on next year's ballots will be there. Huge raffle with some great prizes, live auction stuff, memorabilia will be there. I mean, just it's a great event. Plus, it's the annual meeting for the KSRA. So if you're a gun guy, if you're into the Second Amendment, it's just it's an absolute fun event. You can get information on that at the KSRA's website and, of course, on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And my friends at AFP, Americans for Prosperity, are bringing Guy Benson to town. We'll have him on the show, but he's coming to town, coming up here next month. And as soon as I have more information to that, I'll share it with you. When I do, you again, go to the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. We'll have that information for you tonight. Great show tonight. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. We had a huge week in the Supreme Court. Brittany Jones will be with us to discuss the ruling on parents that object to kids' books on gender identity and sexuality. We'll also talk with Craig DeRoche, president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance, about the ruling on Tennessee's Help Not Harm law. Pastor David Scarlett, former U.S. Marine and chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries, will walk us through how the border risks that we're facing from the possibility of sleeper cells from Iran. So, I mean, that just a whole bunch of topics along those lines. House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter will join us to discuss how he and other leaders are likely to respond now that the Chiefs and Royals have requested an extension on the June deadline for stadium refinancing package, you know, that Starbond package for them to build a new stadium. Kathy Bond will be with us to update us on her campaign for re-election for the USD 259 school board. And we'll get a quick update on the upcoming class of the Kansas GOP Men's Leadership Series that started yesterday. And Kelly Arnold will be with us to kind of update on this on that. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Busy show tonight, but we'll try and take calls as much as possible. So let me talk about the local elections coming up, because the calendar doesn't lie, and it's rapidly approaching. I don't think people are quite aware. June 29th is today. That means we're exactly 37 days away from the August 5th primary. You can start putting your yard signs out. And that's right, just 37 days. And first off, let me tell you something straight, clear, and unapologetically. If you think these local elections are nonpartisan, I've got some really lovely oceanfront property out in western Kansas to sell you. Okay, these are not nonpartisan races. Don't fall for it. Don't let the left, the media, or the weak-kneed establishment types fool you. These are not nonpartisan races. They are highly partisan. The left knows it. The media knows it. And they know that the fight for the future doesn't just happen in Washington, D.C. It happens right here in our backyards, in our city halls, and absolutely 100% on our school boards. And it's high time that we as conservatives, as Republicans, recognize that and start fighting for it like we mean it. And let me ask you this. Have you looked at who's running for the Wichita School Board? The Wichita Eagle ran an article in the paper, and I know Wichita Eagle is really traditionally used primarily for birdcage liner. But occasionally they will inform you. And they've got a profile on everybody who's running for the school board. And strap in, folks, because it reads like the cast list from a progressive activist documentary. Three current teachers from USD 259, like no conflicts of interest there. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, move along. Totally unbiased. There's more. Four registered Democrats. So again, you know, nonpartisan, my patootie. Four. One of them, not just a Democrat, but a full-blown left-wing activist from Kansas Appleseed, which is one of these right, I mean, far, far left-wing. I mean, just so far left, they're coming around the other side, this group. This group is radical. This group is out of the Mondami playbook, socialists. Another, just a paid employee of the American Federation of Teachers. Literally, someone who works for the teachers union. Running for the school board, USD 259. Like, that's going to be somebody who's biased when it comes to negotiating a teacher's contract. I mean, come on! You know, the same teachers union that fought tooth and nail to keep schools locked down, masks on your kids, and woke ideologies in your classrooms. I'm sure these folks are going to be real fair, balanced, and focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Yeah. They're going to be looking out for taxpayer dollars, right? They're going to be focused on accountability, on college and career readiness, certainly. They're going to fire bad teachers who are underperforming and replace them with teachers that are really focused on performance metrics, aren't they? Folks, there's a reason that groups like Planned Parenthood, you heard me, Planned Parenthood, are suddenly so interested in local school board races. Think about that. Ask yourself, why would a group whose entire business model is centered around abortion be so invested who controls your local school board? You know, Planned Parenthood, the people who usually were focused on killing babies, why do they care about what they're doing for education? I mean, usually they want the babies dead. Why do they care if you're educating them? What do they have to gain? What do they want access to? What are they trying to teach, or should I say indoctrinate your children with? It isn't complicated. The left knows if they control the school boards, they control the future. They control the curriculum. They control the policies. They control whether your kids are taught to love this country or hate it. They control whether your kids are taught to go to work or go down to Broadway and Douglas and protest on a Saturday. Whether they're taught basic math or gender ideology. Whether they're focused on reading or some radical Marxist-inspired social justice nonsense. And let's be clear, this didn't start yesterday. This has been the left's long game for decades. Remember Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. What she meant was, it takes the government, it takes the state, it takes the system to raise your kids. That's what they believe. They don't want parents raising their children, they want the government raising your children. That's why they are obsessed with school boards. Conservatives have been asleep at the wheel for far too long when it comes to these so-called nonpartisan races. We show up for the big ones, you know, president, governor, Congress. But when it comes to city council or county commission and school boards, we get 20% voter turnout. Way too many folks stay home. And that's exactly how the left wins and exactly why the left loves it. If we don't show up on August 5th, they'll win again. And let me be blunt. You don't get a do-over. The left is banking on you staying home and sitting on your ass. They're banking on you thinking this is no big deal. They want you complacent, compliant, distracted, tuned out, watching the NFL games. Meanwhile, they're organized, funded, and laser-focused. Listen to this quote from former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. The Republican challenge is to be united, to be focused, and be prepared to fight. He wasn't talking about some far-off political battle. He was talking about this, local battles, ground-level fights, where the left has been grinding away for years while we've been assuming someone else will handle it. This isn't just a fight against Democrats, though. It's a fight against the radical woke machine. It's a fight for common sense, for parental rights, for kids learning basic skills instead of getting lectured about oppression and privilege, for protecting girls' sports and the integrity of women, for keeping biological boys out of girls' locker rooms, for returning discipline, accountability, and excellence to our schools. And here's the kicker. It isn't just Wichita. It's happening in small towns like Goddard and Derby and Mays, suburbs, rural districts, and all across Kansas, all across the country. The left is pouring money, resources, and manpower into these races because they know the truth. School boards are the front line of the culture war. So here's what I need from you. Get involved. Know who's on your ballot. Don't take their word for it. Just because they say they're a Republican, trust me, they're not. When they say they're moderate or nonpartisan, that's hogwash. Look at their records. Look at their donors. Look at their endorsements. If Planned Parenthood or the KNEA or the KASB is sending the money, guess what? They don't share your values. Talk to your neighbors. Call your friends. Call the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Post it on Facebook, on X, or wherever you connect with folks. Remind them that sitting this one out is not an option. Get fired up. Write a check. Walk in a parade. Go door knock. Make a phone call. Get engaged. And most importantly, vote. Because if you don't show up on August 5th, the left absolutely will. 37 days, folks. Tick-tock. The clock is running. Are you in or out? I sure as hell hope you are. We'll take a quick break, and then Craig DeRoche, President and CEO of Family Policy Alliance, will join us to discuss this Supreme Court's ruling that Tennessee's Help Not Harm law will protect kids, much like voting. Jeez Louise. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every month they do their Days of Action. It's the third Saturday of the month. It's a great way to get engaged and make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of the county. Make your voice heard today. Volunteer. Join them. Get out there. Door knock. Help out. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's a great way to get involved. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Earlier this month, the Supreme Court ruled that Tennessee's Help Not Harm law, Senate Bill 1, which protects children from dangerous and irreversible gender transition procedures, is constitutional and can remain in effect. The law holds healthcare professionals accountable by providing victims an opportunity to sue for damages. It's a major victory with nationwide implications. With us now to explain why is Craig DeRoche. He's the president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance. Craig, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show this evening.
John, it's great to be with you tonight.
So, I call all this stuff child abuse. I don't see any, I think that's just the best way to term this. But really, if you look certainly this decision, I would say it's merely ensuring that children who are struggling with dysphoria, with this type of, the kids don't know what they are. I mean, most kids when they're these ages think they're cowboys or astronauts. Parents don't put them in a spaceship and send them to the moon. So when you're doing these procedures that are permanently altering their bodies, I've always thought it was asinine that you would even allow these types of procedures in the first place.
And that's why we picked this up, and Family Policy Alliance started this. Shockingly, there wasn't a lot going on public policy-wise. In hospitals were doing these surgeries. No one was talking about it. They were lying in public saying they were not doing it. We brought forward whistleblowers. Why are you covering it up? If it's such a helpful thing, why are you doing it in the dark of the night without parents? Why are you lying to policymakers in Tennessee and Arkansas and these other states that are trying to protect kids? Vanderbilt University was doing this. My goodness, as soon as the Vanderbilt family might be exposed to civil liability, though, we'll see how much they support this. This was a huge win, John. Thanks for having us on. I want to talk about this as a pendulum swinging win for parents, and really our hope we have for America getting back on track.
Well, and I think America in general is finally starting to wake up to the threat that this whole gender ideology nonsense poses to our kids. Are they not? I mean, granted, it helps that we have a president that actually, you know, understands that there are only two genders. But I think isn't America finally starting to wake up to this nonsense?
It's starting to, but still, it was funny how difficult it was for us, right? That, hey, we all read about Rosa Parks when we were growing up, right? She
right.
got
oh, yeah.
to her seat first. She earned the seat by getting there first. Then we hear about Riley Gaines, who works for 21 years, a lot more than 10,000 hours to get her seat on the podium. But America, we lose our collective minds. You'd think liberals would recognize that as trampling women's civil rights, but they didn't. And parents, too, just like you're talking about, John, people were shocked for some reason. Three Supreme Court justices thought this was okay. Can you imagine if we saw how America reacted to, I think, properly when we learned that parents were buying test scores for ACTs for their kids to get them into college.
Right.
And people said, you all are nuts and you're horrible parents, right? Can you imagine if, like, we found out that a bunch of parents were giving their kids anabolic steroids,
right,
knowing it gives young men testicular cancer, but they're like, you know what? He had to get a girlfriend, he had to get on the varsity team, and it helped him with his self-image. You know, we would have been saying, you need to be put in jail. You're a horrible parent. But for some reason, people were frozen like deer in the headlights, and we had to litigate this all the way up to the Supreme Court to try to get it to make sense.
It is kind of surprising that it had to go that far. We're talking with Craig DeRoche, president and CEO from Family Policy Alliance. Craig, to date, 25 states have passed these help not harm laws, including Kansas. Do you think more will follow now that the Supreme Court has made this ruling? Obviously, it protects states like Kansas, because I know liberals in Kansas were already preparing to challenge our law. So I guess this is a two-pronged question. First, do you think Moore's will pass it? And second, do you think challenges are now going to be harder to proceed now that the Supreme Court has ruled?
I think, and thank you for these questions. I want people to get ready to adopt a posture of winning in our nation. People, if you can hear my voice on the John Whitmer Show, which is an amazing show.
Thank you.
In Kansas here.
I'll send you the check.
Guys, and you, and I'm going to come see you, brother. You do great work.
Thanks.
I love your show. And I know your audience does too, because they know that we can put In God We Trust in schools now. The Supreme Court ruled on that, you know, last summer, like, that separation is gone. You know, so we have to, people are like, whoa. Yes, we told you about that a year ago. We're now adopting that posture. The ACLU and all these states where people are donating plaques and bringing God back into their elementary schools, they're just backing down. They're like, we can't fight that anymore. And now with this, too, like you're saying, the sanity of children, we have a juvenile justice system. Because guess what? We, both Republicans and Democrats, knew that people's brains didn't develop until they're 18. We had a common understanding that, you know, young men were going to act like jerks, get in a fist fight when they're 15 or something in a Burger King. You don't have to call the police, right? You can do something different, even if the police are called, than if they were two 35-year-olds, right?
Right.
But all of this insanity when it comes to sexualization of our youth, and I can't help but to think of why? Why do they need this? Why do they need our kids sexualized? Why do they need them participating in these things? Why do they need to train them in our schools? But it's all over now. So back to the point I was making, not only did the Supreme Court say this is done, they put an exclamation point. John Roberts, which a lot of your listeners might think is squishy sometimes, he said, by the way, and for the record, they know what a woman is. So they ruled and answered that question without even being asked that. So the shenanigans of saying what is a man and what's a woman has been settled by the Supreme Court. So that is 50 years of game playing by the liberals. that they ended.
Did Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson get that message? Because I know she's still struggling with that question.
She is, but John, this is, I'm hardcore, right? So thank you for having me on your show. Those of you, Family Policy Alliance, check us out. But I would make fun of John Roberts and them and say, yeah, she doesn't know what a woman is, right? But and you do, finally, last week. But I've been waiting for some of you for 30 years to say you know what a human being is.
Right, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be more powerful.
Yes.
It would be as powerful as if six of them said, we know what a human being is. It starts at conception. Because now the 14th Amendment would apply, you know, immediately. But that's how powerful that is, them saying they know what a woman is. It gets rid of all of that LGBTQ chicanery. But we have a lot of work to do in Kansas and all 50 states.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think the message is pretty crystal clear from, because I read the gist of the, a brief of the decision. And I think you're absolutely right. Greg, if folks want to connect with you, I know you mentioned it, but it's familypolicyalliance.com, correct?
That's right. We're Family Policy Alliance, and we're a little bit unique. So come check us out at familypolicyalliance.com, but also Kansas Family Voice.
Yep. In fact, Brittany's going to be on the show here the next hour, and we'll talk about the decision on the books that we won as well. So it was a great week in the Supreme Court. It was a fantastic week for conservatives and for parental rights in particular. So, Craig, thank you again. I appreciate you joining us this evening, my friend.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
You too, my friend. Coming up, we'll talk with Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter to discuss how legislative leaders are likely to respond now that the Chiefs and Royals have requested an extension to an end of June deadline for a stadium financing package. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while we're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the president of the Kansas Senate, Ty Masterson, said Thursday a meeting with the bipartisan Legislative Coordinating Council, the leadership, would be called for July 7th to extend the deadline for the Kansas City Chiefs or Kansas City Royals to accept an offer of financial support for construction of professional sports stadiums in Kansas. This comes after both teams requested time to review and respond to proposals from Kansas and Missouri. With us now to explain kind of what's going on, what this meeting is, and what the chances are of actually landing a team is the Speaker Pro Tem of the Kansas House, Blake Carpenter. Representative, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on this evening.
So, I mean, you know, I think we're all familiar with this process. You know, Kansas put the proposal out there. Missouri tried to pass something. Taxpayers rejected it. Then they tried to run a bill. They couldn't get it passed. They had to call a special session. Finally came up with one. And for the listeners, essentially, and I'm giving just the 30,000 foot view here, but essentially the Missouri package is 50% of construction costs, but it's paid for by taxpayers. And if I'm getting it, the Kansas package is a 70% of the cost, but it's paid by sales tax dollars. That's basically the gist of it, correct?
Yeah. So if they were to decide to come to Kansas, it would be based on future taxes that we don't actually have today. So for instance, if somebody builds a stadium in the middle of a farmer's field, and we were just simply collecting property taxes on that farmer's field, and they turn it into a $1 billion complex plus a whole bunch of businesses around it, the area in that district is now, all the sales taxes generated would then go to pay off that bond. And so it's not necessarily something that the state is putting any taxpayer dollars towards. It's future revenues that we would get because of the infrastructure that was being built there.
And when that bond is paid off, however long it takes, but when that bond is paid off, then eventually that sales tax revenue would then go to the state.
Correct. For example, Legends is a similar project up in Johnson County. It was paid off years and years earlier than what the bond was actually set up for. And now the state of Kansas actually brings in $50 million a year on sales tax revenue just from that district alone.
So you guys put together the proposal. But the one that you've put out there expires here at the end of this month. So, you know, the Royals and the Chiefs finally responded, say, hey, we need more time. And so they've asked you to extend it. The LCC, which is basically the legislative leadership that meets when the legislature's not in session, has to meet to basically extend the deal. Do you have any idea how long they'll extend it for? I mean, I talked to Ty. I think he's thinking maybe 6 months. Is that kind of where you're thinking?
That's kind of what I've heard is the thought process is about a 6 month period just to add a little bit of extra cushion. But from what I'm hearing, this could be wrapped up within the next two. And really what I've been hearing is that it's actually not the teams, that have been dragging their feet or anything like that. From what I'm hearing, it is unfortunately government moving at the pace of government.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. And so it is actually, from what it sounds like, it's been on Kansas government that has basically caused these issues. And so it's one of those deals of they've been willing, from what it sounds like, to come to the table and have these discussions. But it's not fair for us to say, well, the contract ends at this date if we're the problem.
No, I will spare you having to do it. I've heard from sources that are very familiar with this that the issue is actually specifically our Lieutenant Governor Toland, who is also the Secretary of Commerce. His office has just basically left this thing in a drawer or wherever they do and has let it sit and hasn't bothered to respond to it. And that's been the delay, that the chief sent a proposal and it's been collecting dust. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap, I guess we better respond to this thing. And that's been the delay, basically. Now, I don't know if you want to comment on that or you just let it sit there, but that's what I was told from sources very familiar.
Yeah, and I'm sure we probably have similar sources in that regard. And that's pretty much, the story that I have heard up to this point, unfortunately.
And see, I don't understand why they would do that.
Legislative leadership has been holding people's feet to the fire on what's going on. And as soon as they've done that, then it started moving again. So what? I'm hoping that, you know, they can continue to progress and do what they're supposed to be doing and negotiating and good faith efforts with folks that they're supposed to be negotiating with.
Do you have any idea what possible reason, other than just flat out incompetence, what possible reason would the governor's office have to slow roll this thing?
I have no idea.
See, and that's when I asked that question, they didn't either because they can't. It's not like there's a political reason or there's an election. I mean, you and I both know why Laura Kelly didn't get on board cutting sales tax on food because she had a chance when we were freshmen. She had a chance 4 years ago. She finally embraced it when she was up for reelection. So I'm looking at this package and I'm trying to think to myself, why are they slow rolling it? Well, there's no election for her anytime soon. So that, you know, unless she's trying to do this to time it with next year's gubernatorial election, and then they can say, we brought the Chiefs to Kansas, vote for me. But that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, honestly, still have no idea because that's so far out. And,
right.
And the time and the deadline would never be extended that far based on just this whole issue. And if we were to go past this year, or if the proposal was to push it out past December, I think that at that point the legislature would have to take another vote on it because otherwise it would be disingenuous and I think disenfranchising the people's representatives to weigh back in on this matter since the deadline was so egregiously passed and it would have to go before the people's representatives again before we'd move forward.
Well, and even the Chiefs have said they can't wait too long. I mean, they've got contractual requirements with their existing stadium and with developers and contractors. They got to get on this deal. So I don't think they can wait any longer, but who knows? I mean, you and I both know, trying to figure out what Laura Kelly's going to do is, yeah, who knows?
Well, sometimes it's pretty easy, actually.
Well, that's true.
It's pretty one-track mind there. Yeah. But, yes, other times it's who's leading the leader, right?
That's true. Very partisan and very political. So if it's either of those things, it's pretty easy to tell what Laura Kelly's going to do. Blake, I appreciate you, brother. If folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Feel free to reach out on my Facebook page, which is either Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. That is probably one of the best social media platforms to reach me at. Another way is blake.carpenter@house.ks.gov. That is my email address. Feel free to reach out anytime. Would love to answer any questions.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you again for joining us. Keep us in the loop, buddy.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate you having me on.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get an update on the new 2025 class of the Kansas GOP's Men's Leadership Series with co-chair Kelly Arnold. Our studio lines are also open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're doing back to doing their Days of Action. It's the third Saturday of every month. If you're looking for a way to an opportunity to get out, help with candidates, or help to educate voters, reach out to AmericansForProsperity.org and make your voice heard today. Again, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And don't forget the Kansas State Rifle Association's annual meeting coming up on July 12th up in Topeka. Fantastic event. It's their annual meeting. If you're a Second Amendment guy or gal, if you love your Second Amendment rights, it's a great event. Lots of meeting. Lots of folks will be getting together. We'll have the majority of the gubernatorial candidates, other folks running for state offices. We'll have a forum of legislators to talk about this last year's session. And, of course, Dan Mears, Casey Wolf, is the featured speaker, and some phenomenal prizes available for raffle, for auction. Just a great event. You can get that information at ksra.org and on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So also one of the neat events, if you're a Republican, if you're a GOP, if you're a conservative, you've probably seen the guys in the red jackets. That's the Kansas GOP's Men's Leadership Series. They just kicked off. It happens every other year. It's an opportunity for men. You've probably heard of the Eisenhower Series for women. Well, the Men's Leadership Series is for men. And if you're interested in getting involved in campaigns or working on a staff or running for office, it's a phenomenal way to educate, to learn, to get more involved in not only in party, in politics, but in leadership in general. They just started the 2025 class. The co-chair of the series is Kelly Arnold, and he joins us now. Kelly, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you and your listeners tonight.
So I know the series just started yesterday, but if folks are still interested, they can sign up because they can miss the first one, but they're still, they'd have to make the rest of them, but they can still join. But this is, and I've seen the guys, obviously, because I was a graduate of the first class, but it's a great opportunity for folks who are men who are interested, who want to get involved in campaigns or are thinking about running for office or want to work on a campaign, be a staffer at a federal or national level or even at a state level or who just want to get involved in politics, right?
You hit it right there. We have graduated over 250 people here in Kansas that have then got engaged in running for office, whether that be state office or even local commission, city council. This year, candidates are up for local office, and we will have a number of our graduates running for office, and we're excited about that.
I didn't realize you've gotten 250. I didn't even realize it, and I've been helping the series for a decade.
Yeah, it's and we have a limited class. I mean, we cap it because, you really want to build that camaraderie with guys, that networking that you're going to do. And so we try to limit the scope of how many people. But I'm excited about this year's class. We have a broad and diverse group with us this year, from young to older to experienced to not experienced. And that's what makes a perfect mix for the Men's Leadership Series.
And from all across the state, too. I mean, I know there are folks in this class, men in this class, from all four congressional districts, from all across the state. And you guys go over all topics. I mean, I know you cover everything from taxes and spending to the different political issues affecting us today, you know, Second Amendment, life, the courts, education. And then you do a whole day that's just campaigns on how to build a campaign, how to run for office, fundraising, how to, you know, collateral design, all that kind of stuff, dealing with the media. I mean, it's just, there's so many issues that you guys go over. And the speakers, I mean, just yesterday I saw Congressman Derek Schmidt was there. You had the attorney general there. I know you've got, former Governor Collier coming to speak at one of your future classes. You'll have political consultants and professional fundraisers come. You've just got a variety of folks who come and speak at these, correct?
And that's what really, we bring the best of the best, people that are in the different fields within, elections and within politics here in Kansas. You know, we want to make sure you hear from experienced people, people that have the cutting edge campaign strategies going on. You know, what is going on in Washington, D.C., what are going on in other states, and bring that here to Kansas, and equip each of these class members to go out into the field and put that to use.
And of course, when they graduate, then they get those really snazzy red jackets so that when people see them, they think they're either wait staff or valets to park their cars, which is really one of the best aspects.
And I also tell them it's a great opportunity to wear those to Chiefs games
trust me.
Can't
we get blue and orange ones?
Red jacket. The idea of having a red jacket, you know, really became a good thing for this class because you wear them to your local party meetings, the state party meetings, when you're out engaged in political events, whether that fundraisers or in your community. People have been wearing the red jackets, which has brought an opportunity for them to tell people about the men's leadership, how they can get engaged. You talked a little bit about, you know, we just had a first class, and yes, we still take applicants even after the first class. If you can make the rest of the series, you can contact us. We do have a web page that you can email or submit information to, and we will get right back to you. That's MLSKS.com, MLSKS.com. And we'll get you connected.
That's right. It's MLSKS.com. And I know actually the next session, which is once a month, by the way, one Saturday a month for 5 months. And the next one, it actually happens to be here in Wichita. So if somebody does want to do it, they can come and they can step into the class and they won't have to drive. I know the last one was in Topeka. You've got one coming up this month, next month in Wichita. The one after that, I think, is in Abilene. Then you'll have one in Johnson County or then the last one back in Topeka. So it's not a long commitment, but they're very highly educational. You learn a lot, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. So again, it's MLSKS.com. Kelly, thank you for joining us. Best of luck to the series, my friend.
Thank you. We'll see you guys again.
Yes, we'll take a quick break. And then after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk to Pastor David Scarlett. He's a former U.S. Marine, hoo-yah, and chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries. He'll warn us how Joe Biden let millions of unknowns across the U.S. border and ask if the nation should brace for sleeper cell retaliation post the Iran strikes. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM and radio, radium radio in cars. And one of the reasons you do that is, well, for situations just like this. Phil, I know you got a weather update. This is why you keep AM and radio cars, by the way.
That's
Phil,
right.
Go ahead.
Okay, real quickly. As you heard before, severe thunder, the National Weather Service here in Wichita has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Cowley, southeastern Sedgwick, southwestern Butler, and northeastern Sumner County, and that's until 8:45 this evening. At 7:58, a severe thunderstorm is located near Mulvane, moving southeast at 15 miles per hour. The hazards are gusty winds around 60 miles per hour and half-dollar size hail. Hail damage to vehicles could be expected with some also wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Mulvane, Rose Hill, Douglas, Udall, and Rock. Again, a National Weather Service issuing a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Cowley, southeastern Sedgwick, southwestern Butler, northeastern Sumner, And this is until 8:45 this evening. Anything else that crops up, we'll let you know.
Now, my Debbie Looper, she's listening. Just, you know, keep an eye out. She lives in that kind of that area. Okay. So, otherwise, it's moving out of Sedgwick County, so it should be okay. But, well, Joe Biden let millions of unknowns across the U.S. border. That's a nice way of saying illegals. Now, nationwide, many cities are bracing for sleeper cell retaliation post the Iran strikes. By the way, was that not phenomenal? Drop a bunch of bunker busters through a hole the size of a refrigerator door. But Border's our Tom Holman is warning of Iranian sleeper cells in the U.S. With us now to explore this in detail is Pastor David Scarlett. He's a former U.S. Marine, hoo-yah, and he is chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries, a Christian outreach, creator of the film Battle at the Border, and author of All for His Glory, The Near-Death Experience of a Modern-Day Job. Pastor Scarlett, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, David, NBC News reported that Iran, and again, it's NBC, so you got to take it pretty much, you know, for a grain of salt. But they reported that Iran sent a communique to President Trump in the days before the strikes, threatening sleeper cell terrorist attacks inside the U.S. in retaliation should the president strike. Obviously, he really didn't care. But I'm curious what you think. I mean, do you think there's a chance that Iran might be stupid enough to initiate some kind of sleeper cell attack?
I do. There has been a known threat for probably well over a year. Our top 40 cities have had Hezbollah and Hamas cells in them. However, I was told from some really good intelligence last Saturday that we have been secretly going in and cleaning up these cells. So the danger is not like it was over a week ago. So we're in much better shape for some kind of mass casualty. Now, they're going to try something. And if they do, you got to be alert. And you see something, say something. But the threat is not as big as it was, I would say, 2 weeks ago.
I know retired General Wesley Clark told MSNBC that he believed Iranian agents in the U.S. could self-activate in response to the bombings, potentially seeking to, you know, murder officials or blow up the electrical grid, stuff like that. I'm not entirely sure that Iran's really organized enough, nor do I think they want to really initiate anything organized. If anything, I think it's more likely these self-activized groups, don't you?
Oh, I think so now. Up until 2 weeks ago, though, there was a threat. And what President Trump did was very bold to take that strike. As you said, it was precision.
Yeah.
You got to give your hats off to our military. Our military had a maneuver that was just absolutely spot on. And I think that scared the Iranians that we can do that. And also the Israelis, they were taking off some of their top leadership. They didn't know where it's coming next. And I think they're a little apprehensive. So I don't see orchestrated move by the top of Iran to get these sleeper cells anymore. I did 2 weeks ago, but not now. But you're right. I think there's going to be some, lone wolves that are going to try to do some, jihadist movements in the United States and Israel and abroad.
We're talking with Pastor David Scarlett. He's the chairman and founder of His Glory Ministries. Pastor, I know that the Department of Homeland Security has also been concerned about some, Tehran affiliated or pro-Iran hackers, is cyber attacks, basically. Is that something that you're concerned about? Or do you think, I'm just curious, because that way they could have some plausible deniability, basically.
Yeah, I was more concerned about that maybe a year ago. I think we've done a great job of preventing that. You never know. Anybody can. It only takes one time to get through, and right, everything goes down. But I think our team, the Department of Defense and President Trump has done a brilliant job of maneuvering meticulously through this to make sure that all our flanks are covered. So we're in the best position I think we possibly can to take on such a threat.
I know you've got a film called Battle at the Border. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, that's where we saw Joe Biden's administration bring people in, illegal aliens. We witnessed, we filmed it, that they're not only these 60% of the children are coming across the border were not related to the people that were bringing them. So that's where your child trafficking is coming in, the 300,000 missing children. We saw fentanyl coming in. I spent a whole day with Sheriff Lamb riding with them, Sheriff Daniels. We saw military-aged men from probably at least 15 or 20 different countries, including Middle Eastern. And they were not with any family members at all. So they were coming here for a mission. And that's why the concern up until like 2 weeks ago was a valid concern. There was a lot. You know, you mentioned Tom Holman, 2 right. million unaccounted for military-aged terrorist-type people in our country. But I was told a week ago that we've done a really good job behind the scenes finding them and getting them out of the country. So, again, hats off to our Pete Hegseth, our military, Tom Holman. But, you know, in this documentary, we show it all. We show that DOGE, before DOGE was even released, that there was a Christian organizations bragging about on camera in our film how they were trafficking humans throughout the United States and just sending an invoice to the U.S. government and going to all 50 states. So this is this was not good. And anybody thinks it was incompetence, it was not incompetence.
No, it was intentional. Yeah.
They planned it.
Yeah, yeah. Pastor Scarlett, again, the film is called Battle at the Border. If folks want to watch it, want to see it, want more information about you or your ministry, what are the best ways for them to find that?
Best way is go right to us at hisglory.me. We reach 25 million people in every country of the world.
Well, Pastor, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much, and God bless you and your audience.
Yes, likewise. We'll take a quick break, and then my dear friend Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will be with us to discuss Friday's Supreme Court ruling that sided with parents. It's so nice to have a Supreme Court that actually interprets the law, doesn't try to, not an activist court. And there's a court that objected to kids' books on gender identity and sexuality. Again, why? We'll get to it. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every month, AFP does a Day of Action. That's the third Saturday of the month. It's a great way for you to get engaged, to make a difference, to help get out and educate voters. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city, of our county. Make your voice heard today. Get out there. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Also, don't forget Kansas State Rifle Association's annual meeting coming up on July 12th in Topeka with my buddy Dan Mears. Casey Wolf is the keynote speaker. You can find information on that at KSRA.org. And the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So the Supreme Court on Friday backed a group of religious parents who want to opt their children, their elementary school children, out of engaging with LGBTQ, you know, Rainbow Mafia books in the classroom. Another major legal win for religious liberties and parental rights. With us now to tell us about the ruling is my dear friend Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. Brittany, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, John. This is a fun day to be on.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, win. Trump, keep on winning. What can I say? So on Friday, the court ruled in favor of this group of Maryland parents who challenged their school district's decision to deny them. Again, this is the most asinine thing, but they denied the parents the ability to opt out of their elementary age children instruction featuring books that address gender identity. And I went ahead and just I wanted to Google, so I wanted to get what these books were. There are 5 books in particular. Uh-huh. And just so that my audience knows what these are, again, this is kindergarten through this elementary. Okay.
Great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Prince and Knight, which is one of five children's books. Okay. Prince and Knight, which I think is pretty self-explanatory. This is kindergarten to fifth grade, folks. Uncle Bobby's Wedding. A niece worries that her uncle will not have as much free time for her after he gets married. His partner, of course, is a man. Love, Violet, which deals with a girl's anxiety about giving a Valentine to another girl. Born Ready, which is the story of a transgender boy's decision to share his gender identity with his family and the world. And Intersection Allies, which describes nine characters of varying backgrounds, including one who is gender fluid. And these are the books that the school district told the parents they had to teach their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy, yeah. Brittany.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the liberals on the court were like, oh, this is just about making sure they're exposed to other ideas. Ugh. There's nothing coercive about this. But teachers are literally handed a packet of responses where they have to correct a child. If a child objects in any way to these stories or says anything's wrong with them, no matter what they're learning at home, the teacher was instructed to disrupt their thinking and tell them, well, that's not very kind. I'm sorry. That's not okay for most parents. And no matter what their religious beliefs are. And so I really think when you're reading this court case, it's like, well, maybe we didn't like this, but this has gone too far. Like, these are not appropriate for kindergartners.
Right.
And it was brought by parents of diverse faiths. We're not just talking about, you know, Catholics or Christians or any, you know, like Protestants. There are Muslims or yes. Orthodox Christians involved. Like, it's a very diverse group of parents who originally had been given an opt-out. They were given an opt-out for a year. And then the school board very clearly targeted these parents. And they're like, we're not doing it anymore. Whereas they were giving opt-outs for other things. And I'm sorry, that's unconstitutional.
This decision, I think, has major implications nationwide. I mean, first off, it's asinine. They had to take it this far in the mm-hmm. first place. But let me ask you, Brittany, does Kansas already have laws in place that cover this opt-out idea? Where's Kansas in this?
That's a great question. Kansas is pretty silent on the question. We have some regulations that point each school district to creating their own opt-out system, but we don't have much on the books. And there's not much specifically on, you know, that's specifically for sex ed. We don't have much specifically on this sort of cultural life thing, the sexual orientation, gender identity push that's not necessarily coming in a sex ed class. And so it's something we've been looking at for several years in the legislature and just can't get anything over the finish line because the teachers unions come in and, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're bigots. You're bigots. Right. And you're well, right. I would think. So then my follow up that. And by the way, I had this conversation with members of legislative leadership over the weekend. Now that you have this Supreme Court decision, couldn't we run a bill that says we have a constitutional precedent now? Couldn't we do a opt-out bill in Kansas that says parents have, or even better, because when I proposed that,
opt-in,
that's what they said. Members of the legislature said, why not do an opt-in instead?
Yes, opt-in is so much better. It puts the power of education where it's supposed to be, with the parent. The school system is supposed to serve the kids and the parents. Like, that is, and I think that's the big question of this case is, whose kids are these? These kids don't belong to the government. They're not social experiments that we're supposed to try things on to see what works. No, like, these are children that are placed in the custody and the care of their parents, and they're the ones that get to decide, not the government.
We're talking with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. There was a whole nother decision. Again, great week. But the Supreme Court upheld a Texas law requiring age verification for websites with porn websites. Let's just call it what it is. Sexually explicit material harmful for minors. Again, this is another common sense bill that got challenged, taken to the Supreme Court. Kansas has one of these age verification website laws. But again, this one, I think, was already being challenged. Do you think they will go ahead with that challenge now that we have a Supreme Court precedent? Where does that stand?
So they haven't challenged Kansas's state law yet.
I thought they were. Okay, good.
I don't think they will after. No, what's happening in Kansas is you have actually the Attorney General has already sued multiple websites based using the law because they're not following the age verification requirement. And we've had a Kansas parent actually use the civil cause of action that we put in the law to enforce the law because her son was able to access a pornographic website through an old computer, and it didn't have age verification. And so we really made this Kansas law very victim-centric. It's all about empowering parents. It's all about empowering the victims to actually confront these people who are abusing their children and who are profiting off of their children. And I think that's the real thing you saw in the Paxton case was you've got several parents on the court who have raised children through the internet age, and they've seen the devastation that pornography has wrecked on their children and their inability to keep up with it. I mean, we're talking about some of the most highly educated parents in the world, probably, and they can't keep up with the tech industry.
Well, except for Ketanji Brown Jackson, keep in mind, because she still doesn't know what a woman is. So,
well, you know, there's other questions there, but.
I do have one other question for you. The Supreme Court has still not issued a single overarching ruling on women's sports and transgender athletes. How long until we put that issue to rest? Do you have any idea? I mean, what's taking so long on that one?
Well, we have a cert petition before the court that's been before the court since last summer. It's a petition to ask them to hear the case out of Idaho and to hear the case out of Arizona. You know, we've been waiting for that for a while. I do think that they're going to apply some things that we saw in Scrimeti, the help not harm case
right
from last week about ensuring kids can't be transitioned and that sort of thing. And so I think that there are some legal through lines that apply to the other case. And then there've been some other things that have happened in the lower courts that I think are going to filter down. So I'm not confident they will actually take the case because they think they've done it already. Now we'll see if the lower courts agree with that. And I think, I mean, I'm more confident that in a year or two, they'll actually take up one of these cases when they see the lower courts are ignoring what they think is the framework for it. So long story short, I'm sorry, that was really rambly, but I think it'll take a year or two still. Cause I think they need to see that their guidance isn't being followed.
Which based on what we've seen, and certainly the way Joe Biden was stacking these lower courts with unqualified nominees, I think that's what we're going to end up seeing. And you know, it's funny, ironically, when we started this segment, we had the intro, the little liner from Riley Gaines. And I talk to her, I text her all the time, and we talk back and forth quite a bit. And it's something that still perplexes her that we're still dealing with this case. And fortunately, she's got the boycott movement, and it may have to come to that. We may just have to have more of these athletes. And yet that's so unfortunate that they're having to do that.
Because these are real girls
that
are losing real opportunities. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Like they're losing real opportunities for real competition because these boys who are confused and need legitimate help taking their opportunities in their spots.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
No, to men. I mean, to biological males. And somehow there's a whole segment of our culture, of our society, that thinks that's okay and thinks that you and I are bigots for opposing it. But, you know, it is what it is. I've been called worse, so.
Bigot doesn't scare me anymore.
Yeah, no.
Never really did.
Trust me.
try harder.
Yeah, thank you. I've been called worse. Trust me. I served in the legislature. I've been called a lot worse.
You know, the death threats and stuff. They become normal after a while.
Oh, yeah. I got them. Yeah. Try again. Brittany, if folks want to connect with you, you guys do some wonderful events. You do some wonderful work, not only on these issues, but on life and on so many other issues. They can find you at KansasFamilyVoice.com, correct?
That's correct. Or find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much, John.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Kathy Bond will be with us to update us on her campaign for re-election to the USD 259 Wichita School Board. Studio lines are also open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every election cycle, again, just a reminder, 37 days. To election day, 37 days to August 5th to the primary. But every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can. So you have the opportunity to hear from them firsthand. We endeavor to invite every candidate on the ballot to appear on the show. I'm in the process now, reaching out to these candidates. So each week between now and the 5th, we'll try and bring you a candidate or two. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know and we'll invite them on the show. All that being said, joining us now is Kathy Bond. She served on the Wichita USD 259 school board since 2022. She's also a substitute teacher in the school district and a small business owner, as well as a longtime activist. She's been a good Republican activist for quite some time. Kathy, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me on. And it is always good to be on your show.
Let's start. I would think you're obviously a glutton for punishment because the school board is one of those. You don't get paid. All you do is get abused. So I got to ask, why? Why would you want to run for reelection, especially at Wichita? Because it's been a tough 4 years. Why run again?
Well, I have not been able to complete what I started.
Yeah, I get that.
I really want to see these lack of proficiencies increase to proficient grades. We just need to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's the basics. And if anything, I'm there to hold it at bay so nothing more can be teached but just the basics.
Amen. I love that answer. So just so that you know, and for our listeners out there, they know I generally have a pretty standard template when I do these interviews. I try and ask the same questions so that, you know, folks get the fair treatment. In your case, in this one, I know you opposed the school bond issue last year. You were the only board member to vote against placing the issue on the ballot. This is not the one that was proposed this time, but the last one. Why did you oppose it? Let's start there.
You know, when it was brought to us, I said, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable. I know that the district says your taxes won't go up, but, you know, they will.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, when the 08 bond is paid off, there's going to be relief to the taxpayer. And I just, you know, they just wanted to continue it. You know, with the way the economy was last year and even this year, I wanted the community to have a break, have a breather, take a little bit of a moment just to kind of like reevaluate where everything is. And I said that throughout the entire year. This is not the time. This is not the time. I said, please go shave the master plan down. That's too grandiose. This is not the time. Then I went to my constituents and they said, please do not put it on the ballot. And John, I work for the constituents. That they are my boss.
Well,
my allegiance is to my constituents. My priority is education.
I was going to say you were proved right because it lost. I mean, it failed, and I think your statements were proven to be proven out. Along those lines, then, would you support another bond? I know that the committee that was put together actually surprisingly voted against it. Would you support another bond?
I think at this time, no. I think that, once again, the trust with the community is not there. Number two, we've got six-figure income administrators who are far more creative, and I believe that they could come up with other solutions than getting a bond issue. And number three, I think that there is a lot more money with our district than what, A, the board is being told, and, B, that's being revealed to anybody. It's got to be there. I think we're funded. I think that we have the money to make it work. I think it needs to be managed a little bit more efficiently and effectively.
Amen. Good answers. We're talking with Kathy Bond, who's running for re-election to the USD 259 Wichita School Board. Let's talk a little bit about scores, and performance of students at USD 259. Right now in Wichita Public Schools, just 19% of students are proficient in reading, 19%. Even worse, when it comes to math, only 16% are proficient in math. That means that more than 8 out of 10 students are not at grade level in basic subjects. How do you propose the district fix that?
Well, we need to think of a different strategy. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've got. And that is with all of life. And I really think that this district, they need to sit down and say, okay, we may have increased a little bit, but I want to see exponential growth in our primary grades, our K through five. That is the foundation. And I actually substituted wine tier in Derby, and I substituted second through fifth grade. That is the foundation. That is the basics. That is where it begins. And I really believe that if a third grader cannot read by the end of their third grade year, they need to repeat the grade over again. Because if you cannot read, you will not be able to learn after the third grade. And I know of stories of students in the fifth grade that went on to the sixth who cannot read.
Yeah.
They can't read.
No, you're setting them up to fail if you're not. Yeah. I mean, I know we need our money and it's all about the Benjamins, but it really should be all about the kids and educating them. And if they have to stay back, then they have to stay back because, again, it's what's best for them. And right. that may be what's best for them.
The district needs to stop thinking about the optics of, oh, we're a great school district. Look at us. Look at our buildings. No. Look at our students and where our graduation rate went up. Honestly, it went up. And none of this tampering with grade stuff. That really upset me when I found out about that at Southeast High School this year. And then when I got those emails and texts and phone calls from former teachers, former educators that said, oh, this has been going on for a long time.
Let me ask you about that. Wichita Schools reported a record high graduation rate of 84.3% for the class of 2024, which is a 5% increase from the previous year. This is all coming from a recent article in the Wichita Eagle. The graduation rate has risen nearly 14% since 2018. And I know that, your superintendent goes around a lot of they tout those numbers, big increase in graduation rates, but more than two-thirds of Wichita 10th graders scored in the bottom level on state math tests in 2024. Among African-American students, nearly 80% scored in the bottom level. So if they can't pass state assessments, which is the basic standard core curriculum, how all of a sudden are they able to graduate? Why are they graduating if they can't pass basic math? It's a good question.
When you have teachers that are being told by I don't know who, if your student scores a zero, just give them 50%.
Oh,
it's just like, really? I don't know who did it. I just know these are what I'm being told. And it just boggles my mind. And if I were to go to the district and say, tell me about this, I get a different story. So then my lack of trust goes down and it fluctuates. It fluctuates. But my primary concern is the trust of the community because this district has their children and we want to know that our kids are actually being educated.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what the school district looks like. I know we've got facilities that need help. But again, I know that we've got creative people in the district. I know can come up with creative ideas. I know that. And I don't want to have to close any more schools, Dan. I don't want to.
Kathy, I'm up on my quick break. Do you mind sticking around through the break?
Nope, not at all.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Kathy Bond, candidate for re-election on the USD 259 school board. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about Americans for Prosperity's Day of Action. It's the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference, to help change the trajectory of our city. You can make your voice heard by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org. Sign up and make a difference. With us still is Kathy Bond. She is running for re-election to the Wichita School, USD 259 School Board. So, Kathy, we've been talking a little bit about, the performance, and I think we've kind of covered that topic, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about spending. Kansas has seen a significant rise in K through 12 spending, of the 53% increase over the last 10 years. But math and reading scores on standardized tests, including state assessments and the NAEP scores, have either stagnant or declined, including at Wichita Public Schools. Do you think Wichita Public Schools are adequately funded?
I do, and I'm sure that the district and maybe some of my colleagues might disagree with me, but I remember hearing last year, I said, what happens if the bond issue does not pass? What is your plan B? And I was told, well, there is no plan B. We're going to do it anyway. It's just going to take us longer.
Okay. Well, if they can afford it, then they can afford it.
Exactly. And yeah. No matter how long it takes. But those words, anybody can go back to the YouTube videos of those meetings and they will hear those exact words.
If currently board members, school board members, do not receive any pay, I know some districts across the state are considering paying board members, they would be paid through the general fund. In other words, taxpayer dollars that would or could be going into the classroom would be diverted to pay salaries for board members. Do you support paying board members? And if it were to pass, would you accept a pay from the district?
You know, I think this is a question to bring to the community because, you know, I'm working for the community. So they are essentially my boss. District 5, my constituents are the ones I report to. And I think that this is something that would need to go to the ballot. I think
let
the community put in their voice of, I don't think it should be up to the board. I don't think it should be up to the district. It needs to be up to the community. And if they feel that we need to be paid, well, then they're going to help us find the money.
I like that. So, I like that. I've never liked the idea of elected officials voting for their own pay raises. So
no.
It's a great idea. Speaking of pay raises, I understand USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld is up for a pay raise. Keep in mind, he already received a 3% pay raise as part of the standard pay increase given to all teachers. Now, I'm not going to get into the fact that he's negotiating a contract with the union and he gets part of that pay raise, which I think is a complete conflict of interest. But let's set that aside. Considering the college and career readiness scores, considering everything else, considering the fact that, you know, he already got a 3% pay raise, do you believe the superintendent deserves yet another pay raise?
You know, we had an executive session about this last week, and there was very lively conversation, and it was a very, very good meeting, minus one board member who couldn't make it. There was no voting that took place there, but I am still doing my researching, and I'm reading a lot about other things that contribute to this vote. The board will be voting on this on July 7th at the board meeting. So at this point in time right now, I am still in the researching. Is this really the right thing, the right time? Is this, you know, is this all that we're going to do? And so I'm still weighing things out right now, and I'm talking to my constituents, and I'm asking them their opinions. That's what I'm doing.
And that's fair. It's hard when you're closing schools and laying off people and he's already gotten one. It's hard to give him another, but it's fair. I'm glad at least you're doing the research on it. I think it'd be hard to tell a janitor or a teacher that just got laid off that we're going to give this guy yet another pay raise. So
it's hard for me to imagine what the city of Wichita is going to think if, you know, hey, they just said no to a bond issue.
Right.
The financial advisory committee said, no, don't bring it forward. Oh, well, the superintendent got a raise. Yeah. I mean,
another raise.
I'm just not quite sure that's going to sit right with the community. So I need to weigh out every point of this vote that I'm going to have to do on July 7th.
I've only got about 2 minutes left, so I want to get a couple quick ones in here. Do you support school choice?
Yes, I do.
Good answer. The Supreme Court recently sided with parents who want to opt mm-hmm. their children out of LGBTQ books in schools. Do you agree with that decision? Would you support it if the legislature put into place an opt out or opt in for parents to take their kids out of that kind of curriculum?
Absolutely. 110%. Because when I ran 4 years ago, I ran on parents' choice, parents' power. It belongs to the parents. There were classes at Northwest High School that I opted my kids not to go into. And I said, I do not want them to go into sex education. And they did not have to go. I think a parent has every right and all right to choose what their students are going to be able to opt in or opt out of. Absolutely. Hands down.
I know your answer to this question, but again, I'm trying to ask every candidate the same questions. So you are listed as a registered Republican. Again, I'm asking this because other candidates may come on. So, but you're listed as a registered Republican. Did you vote for President Trump and Derek Schmidt in the last election cycle?
Yes, I did, and I would do it again.
The reason I'm asking that is I guarantee you if I get some of these others on, they may not have the same answers. So,
you know, one of the things that just gets me is people are not true to themselves.
Yep.
And, you know, I am true to myself, and I'm a true Republican. I'm a conservative, and I am not ashamed of that. And I am not afraid to ask the tough questions, and I've been called a lot of things. But, John, my favorite one is called the watchdog.
Yeah, that is true. You are that for sure, Kathy. If folks are interested, if they want to help you, if they want a door knock, if they want a yard sign, by the way, I've already seen my wife and I were out today. We went out to lunch today and saw a couple of your yard signs already in people's yards. If people want one, if they want to donate, if they want to volunteer, what's the best way for folks to connect with you?
They could email me at kathybond2025@gmail.com. And I've got the best yard team in the world, my yard sign team. My director of my signs is absolutely phenomenal. He makes sure that they get out there right away.
Well, I've already seen them, which is a good sign. So, Kathy, I wish you the best of luck. I know we need you on there. We need you fighting for values, for the conservative principles that I know you believe in. So thank you again. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Carry on the fight, my friend.
Thank you, John. Have a good night.
You too. Well, folks, do not forget, we are literally barely a month away from the August 5th primary. And the only way, folks, that your voice is going to get heard in these elections is to get activated, to volunteer, to donate, and, of course, to vote. So stay engaged and carry on, fellow deplorables.